Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Talk the Prospect. I am Gale Saunders here with Chris Malley, and we're lucky today to have wide receiver out of Boise State, Khalil Shakir. How you doing today, man?
Good. I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Hey, man, we're living the dream. I know it's draft time. It's a crazy year. This whole draft process, it's been pretty awesome. My draft process starts, I start finding – the prospects that are coming out, the Senior Bowl starting, trying to figure out who is who. And Khalil, man, when I found you, I was like, man, this guy's got game. I was loving what I was seeing. And me and Chris went down to the Senior Bowl this year. And then come to find out, out of all the people that, I know in my past, I'm looking at a photo of you, and to your left is your agent. And me and your agent go way back. Like, I'm talking like 10 years. And his dream was always to be an NFL agent. The news broke to me as I saw the photo, because I remember him telling me this way back. So the fact that you're standing there with my guy, Derek, and we bumped into each other down at the Senior Bowl as well. So that was just a great day.
No, that's what's up. He's an awesome dude. Awesome dude.
But Chris, I'll let you start off.
Yeah, Khalil, can't thank you enough for taking the time throughout the draft process to stop on. You had a monster offseason down at the Senior Bowl. We were talking to scouts and different coaches and just everyone in the stands, and everyone was saying, who is this kid from Boise State? Because you were standing out. And then you capped off the combine with a 4.35, and I heard you tell the story how the camera guy was the one who tipped you off that you ran a 4.35, and it's been amazing to see the process and your rise. We're getting close to the draft. I mean, how are you feeling right now?
I feel great. Just, taking it day by day, trying not to look too far ahead to the exact draft day, but just taking it day by day, working out every day and just trying to stay blessed because staying blessed is what's got me to this point, just being appreciative for everybody who's came along and helped me out through my whole career. And just hoping that, God willing, I end up in a place where I'm supposed to be. So I'm just excited to be here.
Absolutely. Yeah. You've elevated your game, game by game, year by year, and the hard work pays off. And it's awesome to see your draft type. Gail and I were just talking to you about being on NFL Network a couple of days ago, which is monumentous. It's just the fact that you're saying that your whole life you're watching the show, now you're on it. And just want to get into the first question over here. So what has been your favorite part of the draft process, and what has been your least favorite part?
That's a tough one. My favorite part, I'd have to say the training aspect. Like, I went down to Fort Lauderdale to train down at XPE, and I've never done like intense training, speed training at least, for really pushing the 40-yard dash. You know, I know for me, it was like, okay, they wanted to know how fast I was, right? And not many people didn't think I was, you know, 4.4 or 4.3. Nobody knew I was that fast. Everybody was thinking 4.5, 4.6 or a lot slower. So for me, it was just about proving everybody wrong. And that type of training was very, very intense, but it was fun because I knew that every day I was getting better. I knew that I was getting faster every day. And when I got there, I actually pre-tested like a 4.6, 4.7, like a high 4.6, low 4.7. And I was like, oh, this is going to be tough to get it down, you know? And they were like, you know, we can get you down to a 4.5, we think for sure. And about a week and a half out from the combine, I pre-tested a 4.40. So I'm like, okay, whatever this training is, it works. So just to that process to go out there and train that intense and it all to pay off when I went to the combine was probably definitely one of my favorite part about this process. Then I would say least favorite, that's a tough one, you know, because at the same time, it's, you know, you don't want to make it seem like I'm not appreciative for everything that's happened to this point, because I know that anybody would be, you know, more than welcome to trade places with me. So I guess the only thing would be, you know, just getting more sleep. You know, you got busy days, you're working out all day, you're meeting with teams, you're, you know, doing a whole bunch of things to where your sleep schedule can be a little bit off. So I guess that'd be my least favorite part, was just not getting as much sleep. So now making that work, going to sleep earlier, have a little more time to, you know, get myself together, to get ready for bed at a decent time. So I would definitely say that's probably the least favorite part.
Now, when I was looking at some of your tape, and I was just thinking in my head before I even heard some of the things that I heard in the past couple of days, but I was just thinking in my head, like Swiss Army knife, dude. Like, this dude is, you know, he'll take a jet sweep. You know, he's, you know, getting the yak. He's going up for the 50-50 balls. And did you reach out to Swiss Army yet to get your own set of knives? Because look at here, man. Like, you know, I know that's the nickname, Swiss. I had to add the little, you know, well, whether you're a wide receiver or not, you know, you knowing the X slot to Z, mm-hmm. you said you added a little wildcat, little running back in high school. Yeah. And a kick return ability. So, I mean, mm-hmm. talk about, you know, leads me into my first question. For a player that is as versatile as yourself, with the ability to be interchangeable in an offense, how have NFL teams stressed the importance of your skill set at the next level?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much for me, you know, when you go into a game, you know, knowing what every single person has, the concept as a whole, it allows you to be on the field a lot more, you know. When you just know what the X has on certain personnel in certain plays, it limits your play time. So if the coaches, you know, here at Boise State, they had the trust in me to go into every game knowing that I was going to know the concept as a whole. So going into this next level, you know, I've been told it's important that I learned that throughout my career, you know, here in college, because, you know, now they can kind of move me around, and knowing that I've done it before, you know, it'll obviously the trust has to be built, you know, from wherever I end up. But it gives them, you know, a sense of them to, you know, they can feel comfortable with, you know, putting me out there wherever, like I said, slot, outside, X or Z, running back, wildcat, like I've done it all and I've shown that I've done it all. So I think, you know, that bringing that skill set to the next level is very important. You know, you see guys like Deebo Samuels doing that, you know, and creating this new position, wide back, you know, or whatever they want to call it, you know. So
that don't sound right, man. That don't sound right.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely after watching what Deebo did, though, that's definitely something that, you know, I would want to do at the next level, you know. Yeah. And I think that, you know, from what I've done in my college career, that it's definitely something that teams could take advantage of. So
that's interesting. I know we had a question from the chat real quick. Steven Puga says, Khalil, who's one NFL wide receiver you looked up to growing up?
Julio Jones. I'm not as big as Julio Jones, but the physicality he brings to the game and the way he's, you know, he does this thing called the illusion of speed. You know, I learned this when I was training. So it was as a receiver, you got guys who look like they're running real fast. They're wideouts, and sometimes they are. But there was this route that Julio Jones ran a couple years ago. And it was when he was on the Falcons, and he ran a post corner. And when you watch the clip, it seems like he's running really, really fast. And we're all guessing 18 miles per hour, 19 miles per hour. and he completely shakes the dude. He's only running 13 miles per hour. So seeing that and learning stuff like that and the way he's able to, you know, work his defenders to make it seem like he's running faster, but it allows him to get in and out of his breaks a lot easier to where the DBs can't react fast enough, and it creates that separation. You know, I've been studying his game ever since I, you know, could remember. So definitely him.
Nice.
All right, Khalil. When I watch your game, it's hard to compare you to just one player. I see a lot of DJ Moore in your game, though. Who are some of your favorite wide receivers?
I like watching Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp brings a lot of finesse and savviness to the game. He's somebody who, you know, when he's big in the run game as well, which allows him to get open. So helping his physicality in the run game and going down, blocking safeties, backers, getting in the box, allows him to, you know, run in that same direction, but stem inside and run these routes as if he's going to block, which people they have to respect his blocking ability to where, you know, it brings them down and he's able to pop up over the top. He had one in the Super Bowl, I believe, where he ran inside, you know, safety comes down, and he just pops right up back over the top wide open. So, you know, his finesse and savviness is something that I admire. Then I would definitely say Davante Adams, just because his release package, you know, you've seen this dude, especially down in the red zone, like he'll run and then act like he's running the fade, throw the hand up, then come back across for the slant, like things like that. Like you just don't wake up and do those type of things. You know what I'm saying? He's somebody who's mastered, you know, his release package. So I definitely love watching him play as well.
He's a technician.
Yeah. I just mentioned DJ Moore because just so many things just like of his game remind me of what you brought to the table when you were at Boise State. I mean, the way that you stem at the top of the route, just everything, the way your ability to stack and just the savviness and Swiss Army knife. I mean, that's why I love watching DJ Moore, local Philly kid, and being able to watch him grow up around me and then see him absolutely just like punish DBs out in Carolina, even without a proper quarterback some of these years. I mean, that's why it's really exciting to see your game and see the comparisons.
Now, you know, you and your team talk about checking the boxes, going through the whole draft process. What have been some of those boxes for you?
Yeah, so, you know, checking the boxes is like it's almost like a mentality, I guess you could say. So, you know, dating back to my first box that I wanted to check off was finding the right agents and signing with the right agency. And, you know, Derek and Sam Mears and Chris Cabin and those guys, you know, talked to them for a bit. And when I made that decision, it was, you know, probably the easiest decision because of the personal connection I felt with them just as far as relationships. So those guys are amazing, man. And I definitely am truly happy with being with them because those guys, I could call those guys whenever I need them. They'll be there right away. They've flown down to Florida to see me training. They live in California. They've flown down to Florida for one day. They're flying in the morning and then leave later on that day just to check up on me, see how I'm doing, hang out for a bit. So that was the first box I checked off. Then, you know, when I got with them, it was all right, let's look forward and see what these boxes we have to check off. The first one was the Senior Bowl. You know, coming from the Mountain West, people question the competitiveness within the Mountain West. You know, it's not like the SEC and things like that, right? So being able to go to the Senior Bowl and compete against guys and from every single conference was the next box I had to check off, and not just compete with them, show them that I am better than them and that I can, you know, compete with these guys and go out there and stand out. So after the Senior Bowl, we were really, really happy with what I did up there. I was confident when I went up there, always have a chip on my shoulder and just knew that, you know, when somebody lines up across from me, there's nobody that can stop me. So we believe we checked that box. The next one was Combine. And then Combine was all about the 40 for me. So it was like, I know this speed training is paying off. I know it is. Got up to the Combine, did what I did, not only within the 40, but within the position drills and stuff. We checked that box off. And that was, we were happy with that. Then my next box, people thought it was Pro Day, but it was me proposing to my lady. So that was the day before Pro Day. Pro was on the 29th. So that all went well. You know, if it didn't, I probably wouldn't be sitting here smiling so much right now, but that went well. She said yes, and that was another box checked off. But then it was pro day was to just improve my vert and go out there and just run more crisp routes, and definitely did that. So for us, it's like identify the next goal and what we have and the time limit we have to the next goal and put in the work, and then when we get there, go to work, and work off after.
I mean, to be honest, that's one of the things, like me personally, that I was just thinking about your game heading into the Senior Bowl. I was just like, now I need to see him against some of this competition. As the week progressed day after day, it's like you got better and better and better. And I remember on day three of the practices, I was speaking with Derek, and I'm like, are you here? Because he's like, nah, are you there? And I'm like, I'm in here. And he's asking me, like, so how's Khalil look? I was like, yo, he just caught a crosser right over the middle. And then you had that full extension catch in the corner. I was like, I was just happy to see. And then when you went to the combine, just another box checked. You had a phenomenal combine.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
All right, Khalil, when it comes to film, what is your process of watching and breaking it down? How has this process evolved throughout your college career?
Yeah, I mean, it evolved a lot from, you know, when you're in high school, you don't really watch as much film. It's high school is just talented people go out there and let's just play, you know. So when I got into college, the importance of film became huge because now you're game planning opponents. You're trying to see who is their top players, what coverages they run, and how are we going to, you know, throw our offense in there and win and beat them. So, you know, from the standpoint of film, for me, it was always identifying their top players. So me lining up in the slot a lot this past year, I'd always look for their nickel and see if that's going to be a mismatch or if it's going to be a tough matchup. After that, look at their secondary as a whole. You know, is their boundary corner? Do they play boundary field? Do they play sides? Do they put their best corner in the boundary? Do their safeties help out in the run game a lot? Does their strong safety like to help with the run support, which can give us opportunities to run RPOs, things like that. So after looking through all that and their personnel, look at their coverages. We got a lot of man this past year, which, you know, if you go in for the week and that team runs man pretty much the whole game, that's music to a receiver's ears, you know? So for me, I mean, it makes it a lot easier when you got a guy just lined up in front of you. You know, you don't have to see if it's cover two, cover four, cover three, you know, things like that. So definitely, you know, love that they ran man. You know, what downs did they run man? Were they mainly zone the whole game? Or and then when it was on third downs, did they go man? Like, things like that. What were they doing in the red zone? Red zone, were they straight zero? Or did they zone off, you know, depending on what yard line we were on or how far we were into the red zone. So it definitely evolved from my freshman year to my senior year. The film watching became more and more intense. You know, it only became because it's almost like you fall in love with doing it, because it's like, mm-hmm. you want to give every advantage to yourself that you can going into the game. You don't watch film the whole week and then go into the game. You don't know what you're going to get. But if you study somebody's habits and, you know, things, what they do, you know, how do they press? Do they go one hand? Do they go two hand? Do they do soft, you know? So it's like studying those things going into the game and almost knowing what they're going to do. Obviously, throughout a game, teams can change things up, but you watch a team for multiple games and have a feel for what they're going to do. It just gives yourself an advantage. So the film work just got more and more intense as my college career went on.
Now, taking your talents to the Senior Bowl, you were able to go up against some of the nation's best corners. Who were some of the cornerbacks that gave you the toughest competition?
I would definitely say me and dude from Pitt, his last name is Mathis, I believe. He played me tough. He got me, I got him. So he was somebody that was really, really good, in my opinion, really, really good. Got a couple reps against Bryant from Cincy. Was fun. That was real fun, just because to see what he's done throughout his college career, then go up against him. You know, just do what I do and show scouts that I can hang with top guys, you know, and guys who have a lot of buzz around their names. So I'd say those two were definitely, you know, guys that I loved going against and that were tough competition. You also have, I don't want to mispronounce his name, but he's from Baylor, Petrie or something like that.
Petrie.
Jalen.
He's a dog too. So those guys, you know, kudos to them. They're all really, really good players. And obviously their film speaks for itself. They're dogs. So.
I just want to make one note. Pickett was throwing the ball at one of those plays. He could have thrown it back, a bad ball, because you were up against his teammate. I'm just letting y'all know. I was just like, I saw that play where you were up against the Pitt corner. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, you know, like, it could have been a better ball. I was like, oh, Pickett threw that one, you know.
Nah, Pig is dope. Pig is a dope dude.
All right, Cleo, what is your why? What are some of your goals, and what are some of your goals as a rookie?
I mean, my why is my family. You know, those, you know, my mom, my dad, my siblings. You know, ever since I started playing ball, I didn't even really want to play at first. I was huge on soccer. I started playing I started playing tackle football when I was 7 years old, and my dad kind of threw me into it, and didn't like getting hit at all. And I didn't like any of that. The idea of somebody tackling me, I didn't like it, you know? So he was somebody who was always on me. You know, he was my coach for my first couple of years. And no matter what, he made sure that I would go out there and just compete, even at a young age, just go out there, have fun and compete. You know, as time went on, I learned to love the game because it's truly the best game in the world, in my opinion. So, you know, that's my why. My family is just the time and the support that they put into me ever since I started playing the game, to be here now in the position that I'm in, and with the draft here, you know, coming up, you know, just to show them that all their time and support that they put into me ever since I was 7 years old is going to pay off. It's truly a blessing. And I'm definitely thankful that, you know, they believed in me and stuck with me my whole life. And, you know, no one just told me, like, you got this, you know, even when I'm feeling down. I didn't have the best game. After my dad chewed me out for having a bad game, then he would tell me, you know, just stick to it, stay the course, you know. So definitely appreciate my family. And, you know, that's the main reason why I do everything. So my goals for this upcoming, you know, rookie season is, for me, it's just how can I contribute to a team, you know. I don't want to be placed into just one spot. I don't want to be labeled as one thing or another. You know, whatever I can do for a team to win and get on the field, I truly believe when I'm on the field, you know, I make plays. And whether that's lining up in the slot or X or Z, or, you know, doing wildcat or playing running back or running down on special teams. You know, I ran down on kickoff my sophomore year here at Boise State. Anything I can do to get onto the field and contribute, you know, I'm a big time team player, and I truly believe in the team aspect of the game. And, you know, for me, it's just do anything I can to help the team win.
Now, speaking of Boise State, you know, you have former teammates that are in the league, Eagles wide receiver John Hightower, and Dolphins, newly signed Dolphins wide receiver Cedric Wilson. Have they been a wealth of information on what to expect in the league?
Yeah, I mean, I'd definitely say, you know, not just them, but just, you know, my you know, older brothers alone, just them going into the league and seeing how careers pan out and like what they're doing and hearing from them. John, actually, the last couple times we talked, we ain't even talked football. We talked about bowling, because he bowls a lot. But just seeing him and Sed, you know, going to the Dolphins and watching him in his career, and, you know, him, you know, to overcome injuries as well and still stay the course and, you know, stick to, you know, what he does best and knows that it's all going to pay off one day, and seeing it now, you know, paying off. It's something that, you know, I truly look up to, just their careers. You know, I got guys like Avery Williams, who plays for the Falcons. He's somebody too that I'm a lot close to, and that I talk to more often than the rest of those guys. Curtis Weaver on the Browns, that I talk to a bit more, and them just kind of letting me know how it works. You know, for me, I'm huge on relationships. I'm a relationship type of person, and I'm adopting the business aspect to everything. You know, it's don't get too hung up on one team or one player or anything, because you never know what can happen. It's a business. So for me, it's that's what I've learned from them is, hey, man, come in, whatever team you go to, go there, ball out, do what you do. And, you know, things will go how they're supposed to go, because at the end of the day, you know, it's one big business, and teams are going to do what they need to do to win at the end of the day. So just go in there and just be me, have fun with it, and ball out.
Yeah, Khalil, I love that answer with building relationships, because I'm all about building bridges, leaving places better than you found it. And that mindset, that's gotten you this far. And that's going to allow you to be a key contributor day one in an NFL locker room and on the field. And it's really exciting, man. I mean, I was talking to Turi Carpenter. That was the main dude that I really hit it off with when I was down at Mobile. And the other day he just DM'd me, and he sent me a picture of his wall. It's like his jersey from Georgia Tech, and like pictures of like him and his parents, him and his grandparents. And then there's a picture of me and him on the field. And that's like hit me, man. It's like remind me like what my why is. Like my why is like having guys like you on the show and just try to help you guys along with your journey and be a part of it. So I really enjoyed that answer. last question from me, Khalil. So I saw that you recently got engaged. Congratulations, by the way. What has it meant to you to have that type of support in your life and career?
I mean, it's the biggest blessing I could ever ask for. You know, a lot of people go through this solo, and, you know, it's a big mental game. This right here is the, if you don't have a strong mental game, you're not going to make it. And my fiance has been somebody that went to every single game this past season. You know, for me, it got to the point where if I didn't see her in the stands, I was like, you know, I had to keep looking extra to see her right before the game started. So, you know, our connection, our bond, it means everything to me. Having her support just pushes me to be better every single day. You know, and it's crazy because, you know, I never had, you know, somebody like her in my life to where the most important thing is what I'm thinking up here in my brain. You know, every single day she makes sure to check up on me and just ask if I'm okay or ask how I'm doing, you know, because sometimes all you need to do is just talk about things, you know, for her to you know, realize that and realize that sometimes I could be overthinking in my head and all I need to do is just get it off my chest and talk. And she'll sit there and just listen to me talk. And, you know, that's the biggest blessing I could ever ask for. She's somebody who keeps my mind right, keeps me mentally ready to wake up every single day and just attack the day. So I'm just truly blessed to have her.
Hey man, you're inspiring all these dudes out here to make sure, you know, and get engaged, you know, put a ring on it, on it, gentlemen.
You got to find the right one. Don't just put a ring on nothing.
This is true. Now, throwing a little curveball here. You know, alive or dead, you know, if you could pick five people to have dinner with, who would they be?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I know you got a big family now, so you don't, you know, I don't want you to offend family members. So if you exclude family members who, yeah, you know. Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's exclude the family members. So we just talking, let me just say celebrities, you know, people in the league. I would say Deion Sanders got to be one.
Prime time.
The original. Yeah, Julio Jones got to be one. Like I said, you know, watching him growing up. Just don't got is this just football or just overall?
It could be anyone. It could be philosopher, it could be anyone.
I would say Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah. The original Shaq.
Yeah, the original Shaq. Because we Shaq, one of my nicknames Shaq, but you know, my pop's nickname first is Shaq with a K, not a Q. So it's a little bit different. You know, we don't want to, you know, try and, you know, live under Shaq with a Q. You know, that's something that he's a baller in everything he does. So Shaq, I would say, man, this is tough.
That's three, right? Yeah. You got Shaq, Julio Jones, Deion Sanders. Two left.
David Goggins. Yeah. You know, pick his brain. I got one more. Let's go with Kevin Hart.
Yeah. All right. Philadelphia native. Yeah. Are you trying to send an Eagle by? Because he's a big Eagle fan.
Hey, y'all put me on the spot. I came with the first five people that came to mind. So don't nobody judge my table, man.
That's what's up, man. Now I did find some favorites. This was out of high school, so maybe the young Khalil could be different than the OG Khalil. Now, your favorite food back in the day was mini tacos. What is your favorite food now?
Mama's fried chicken. My mom's fried chicken.
Okay. Yeah. Favorite movie, Four Brothers. Me and Chris were like, you know, that's actually a pretty good movie.
Yeah, it is. I just watched it again the other day, but I watched Saving Private Ryan. Last night or two nights ago, that'll probably be my favorite movie now.
You know, I saw Saving Private Ryan in the movie theater, and so many people were getting old folks were getting sick.
Bro, you can't make this up. I literally have it. It's literally on my desk right in front of me.
That's crazy. No, that's a real good movie. My fiance's dad was actually, he'd been telling me to watch it, and I don't know. I couldn't find it or what, but it was on. It's on Netflix, so we watched that the other night. Really, really good movie.
Okay, favorite NFL team, Atlanta Falcons. It's okay. It's in the Bird family.
No, that's I grew up being a Falcons fan. My dad, you know, And my dad is big on the Falcons. You know, his whole he has a gym in his garage. It got Falcon carpet, Falcon you know, stuff up. His whole his car is red and black. He got Falcon symbols on it. Yeah, so he's a big time Falcons fan. But
you know, that stadium is pretty nice, man.
Oh yes, beautiful. But getting into this process and you know, kind of going through it, it's kind of hard to just say I have a favorite NFL team.
Dad's gonna have to have a second team, man. Dad's gonna have to have a second team.
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna have to leave that one blank for now. We'll see here at the end of this month, though.
that was a true question. But favorite pastime? You was watching Netflix. You just mentioned watching Netflix, but favorite pastime now?
I like to go bowling a lot. I bowl a lot, so I would definitely say I still watch a lot of Netflix, but I love bowling more. So,
okay, that was interesting. Let's see. Feast with Pete. You know, he's getting personal here. Said, ask him if he likes Jalen Hurts' game.
Yeah, no, Jalen Hurts. You know, watched him his college career. Watched him there, and then seeing what he's been doing. I definitely, you know, I wouldn't mind playing with him for sure. But I think he's a baller. No matter what anybody says, in my opinion, I think he's somebody who's going to show out this upcoming year for sure and have an amazing career. So.
Yeah. Now Sean asks, did you run any track growing up? If so, what events? I know your family members have ran track, no?
Yes. My older brother and my older sister did track. I did not, which is crazy because I think it was like the freshman year. It was after football. It was like the first day of track or something like that. I didn't even, you had to sign up and then go out. I didn't sign up. And then I think I went home one day and my mom was like, you're supposed to be at track. And I was like, I'm not doing track. And yeah, she got on me for that. But I never ran track actually. So it was just strictly football, 7-on-7, and just stuck to that.
Now we had a couple videos, you know, talk to prospect. It's all really about, you know, getting to know you and talk about your game a little bit. But we tried to find some clips that kind of some of these were personal because, you know, this me and Chris, this was our first Senior Bowl down there. Yeah. And it's funny because like your story was a little part of the personal story of just, you know, knowing Derek, you know, and having that moment of watching you excel and seeing him as excited as he was to watch your game. That was pretty awesome. But going back to some of the clips, you know, this play right here, and to me, this kind of like, you know, this is, you know, you make your money in the NFL going over the middle, and here you are. Great camera angle, by the way. Boom. And taking the shot. And then you talk about the release package here. I mean, the Twitch, you're pretty twitched up, dude.
Appreciate it.
And this is against Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I'm trying to expand my horizon as far as the release game. So comes with studying a lot of the greats in the league right now. So
now who do you study the most when it comes to routes?
It just depends on what I'm trying to get accomplished in that film session. So if I'm trying to do releases, right? So if I'm like, okay, I gotta, you know, expand my horizon, like so with my releases, I watch Devontae Adams, you know, for a couple hours. If I'm trying to, you know, for me and my finesse is having this that I like to add into the game, like I said, I watch Cooper Kupp and the way he runs his routes, you know, because he's not the fastest guy in the league, but he's open 90% of the time, you know, just because of the way he's able to work somebody. So when I'm sitting there and trying to work, you know, wide receivers and what they're doing and, you know, create the illusion that I'm going to go deep or that I'm going to stem inside and I'm going inside, but then I break back out. I like to watch guys like Cooper Kupp. But that's about it. I like watching Julio Jones. Like I said, always a big fan of him. And just, you know, for me, I want to get more physical as I play the game and get into this next level. So watch guys like him and, you know, the way he runs his route and his burst off of the ball and things like that. So I watch a lot of guys. It just depends on what exactly I'm trying to accomplish within that film session.
Now we have another play. When I look at your game, the words in my head come up a lot of want to. Like you got a lot of want to in your game. When the ball is in your vicinity, that's yours, man. And you make it very clear to any DB around you. This play, talk us through this one here.
So I'm not even supposed to get the ball on this play. I'm not even really supposed to be a read. And as you see, I didn't get a foot down. So I'll just call that out right now. I didn't get the foot down. This play here was just it was supposed to go to our boundary receiver who, you know, we called it a summer route. He sells a shallow route and spikes up to open green grass. And myself and the X receiver outside of me, we're just clearing routes. We called it love for the game routes. So this is just clear out, take as many guys as you can with you and get somebody else open. So what happened was Hank had to scramble. He stepped up and he just threw it up. And for me, you know, my whole mentality with going up and getting the ball is if my quarterback trusts me enough to throw me the ball when there's multiple guys on me, then I'm gonna go make the play. So
now did you remember what happened after this? Because you hit hard, my guy. right here. You look like give me a second, bro. My wind.
I just got the wind knocked out of me for a quick second. And I actually hit the ground and I was catching a cramp in my calf. when I hit the ground, I felt my calf start to cramp up, but I couldn't breathe. So I think that the wind getting knocked out of me, like the cramp went away. It just went to trying to breathe. Like I was just trying to stay alive at that point in my head. That's what I'm thinking. So when I hit the ground, caught the cramp, then I was like, I took a deep breath and I couldn't, you know, get it out and the cramp went away. And then I was like, I just need to sit here for a second and just gather myself. So.
Now this one of our last plays here, you know, just a simple route here. It's just, you know, just falling the sweet spots of the defense. This is, you know, to me, like, I feel like you're a three-level threat, but just, you know, at the next level, I think it's being on the same page as your quarterback and being where you're supposed to be. And I feel like this is a part of your game that, you know, it's just it's sweet and simple. And catching the ball with traffic is something that NFL coaches love.
Yeah, that play is one of my favorite plays. I actually have a read on that play, so I can do multiple things. I can run a dig, I can run a curl, I can run an inside fade, and I can run a seam. So I got a lot of options off of that play, and there's, you know, four or five options. So at that point, if you got four or five options and you basically just read in the defense, you know, you got to get open. You're not running one simple route to where you have to win inside or have to win outside. I could do whatever I want, be as creative as I want, just make the right read, be on the same page as the quarterback, and just get open. So that's a route that a lot of timing had to be worked on within the quarterbacks throughout the week to understand what the defense was doing. Was I going to run the dig more often? Did they play a lot of man? Was I going to run the fade more often? Just being on the same page with him, that just came with a lot of preparation. So definitely one of my favorite routes.
Okay. Now Kelly said, inside or outside release, what's your first move off the line?
I mean, that just depends on what the route is, you know? So, inside for me, if I can, either one works for me, as long as if I decide, let's say I have an outbreaking route, if I do decide to take an inside release, it has to be very, very clean because I know I have to get to a point where I'm almost stack over him. Now I have a two-way go, vice versa too. If I take an outside release and have an inside breaking route, depends on what the route is. But if I can get into a stack position, regardless of inside or outside release, that's the main goal, because now you stack a DB, he has no clue which way you're going to go. You know what you're doing in your head, and you could show him that you're going to, you know, break out, but then break in, or go in, but then break out. But it just comes with, you know, knowing and having a plan in your head when you go up to the line too. I like to keep it as simple as I can. If I can, but if you got a really, really good DB, sometimes, you know, it takes a little more time at the line, depending on the release, or at the top end of the route, if you do decide to burst off the ball and take a slower release, you got to make up for it, you know, to create that separation at the top end of route. So.
I have one last question. I know you know, you didn't have to flex on everyone taking your shirt off at the pro day here, all of us have abs around here, but you got unbreakable across the belly here. I mean, these tattoos are forever. So what's the meaning behind unbreakable?
That's a mentality. So for me, it's more for my mental game. It's no matter what happens throughout my life, you know, no matter what gets in my way, the obstacles, no matter what it is, I'm unbreakable. You can't break me. It doesn't matter if you sit there and scream at me or try and hurt my feelings or whatever it is, no matter what happens throughout my life, I always, you know, tell myself I'm unbreakable. And, you know, with that mental game, when I tell myself I'm unbreakable every single day, it's nothing that can stop me. So it's just pretty much a mentality.
Now, Tone got real hard hitting questions here. He's Xbox or PlayStation?
Xbox. I just got the new Xbox. Derek just got it for me.
The
new Xbox or the newish Xbox.
What you playing? Are you playing sports games? You playing a little Halo?
Nah, I play Warzone. I play Warzone a lot. Then I play a lot. All of, right. Or I just got back on Fortnite because they took the builds away. I couldn't build for nothing when you had to build on that, and you got people building towers in half a second. So it just didn't make sense to me. But Mally, they took away.
Mally's a big Warzone guy.
Yeah, Warzone is that's my stuff right there.
Bro, the hackers got me off there for a little bit. I got sick.
It's been a minute since I came across the hackers.
They had the anti-cheat, but it was bad, bro. You had people like standing in the middle of the map, spinning around, shooting you like 200 yards away. It's crazy.
No, that was awful. That was when I think it was during season when the cheating was bad. I don't play much during season. It's mostly off season, so I hop back on and they got the anti-cheat and all that stuff now. And it's not a big fan of the map though. The map is huge and they got
the lighting is so bad. You can't see anything.
You get Chris started, man. He's going to,
Khalil understands the game. No, man. You get done practice, you get done work and I'm trying to chill with my boys. You get on there and you're like looking into the sun on the TV.
That's my favorite game right there. Warzone for sure.
Now, Chris, did you have any more questions before you, Khalil gets out of here?
No Chris. Questions at all. Just thank you very much for being so gracious with your time. I mean, just really proud to see what you've accomplished. It was awesome talking to all your whole team and agency when we were down in Alabama, because they were so hype about it, and we were so hype about it. Every day we just kept tabs on your process throughout the week, and it was really cool just to meet yourself and all the players down there and just to see – all you guys just like in the moment. And I think that was one of the, not just because we were down there, but just my experience of watching the Senior Bowl every year. Like that was one of the more competitive Senior Bowls I've ever seen, because I think people increased their stock at an exponential level this year. I mean, you got guys from all over competing, and now all those guys from the Senior Bowl, their stocks are flying up. They're all the guys getting the interviews, and it's really awesome to see the progress that you've made. And congratulations. I mean, I know you're still waiting to see how everything turns out by the end of the month, but congratulations on the engagement. Congratulations on an awesome season and off season, and best of luck in the league, man. Hopefully you end up here in Philly, but regardless, you got fans for life here, man. And we really appreciate your time tonight.
Appreciate you guys.
Now, piggybacking off Chris, I mean, we drove down from Philly. It was a snowstorm, so instead of flying, we drove about 16 hours all the way to Alabama. And just, that whole experience was great watching, like Chris said, everyone's stock. Guys that we're looking at Calvin Austin, Alec Pierce, looking at Khalil Shakir. And to see you guys succeed, that's really where we are as we're Eagle fans, but we're also draft fans. So just to see you succeed is really at the end of the day, really what we're all about. Before we get out of here, if there's anything that you want to say to the Philadelphia Eagles on why they should draft you, here's your stage to do so.
If I do end up in Philly, that'll be a blessing in itself right there. I know the fan base is amazing. The organization is great. I truly believe that if I did end up there, it'd be, one of the biggest blessings ever. And if I did, Philly would get, somebody who works hard every single day, keeps his head down, grinds, leads by example, can line up anywhere, and just put my best foot forward every single day and do everything I can to win games for the team and make the fan base happy. So definitely we'll see how this thing, plans out and see how it ends up at the end of the month. But would be truly a blessing if I did end up in Philly, and definitely wouldn't mind that. So definitely want to say appreciate you guys for having me on. It's been fun. Definitely one of my favorites for sure. Just chopping it up with you guys. You guys' kind words means a lot to me and everything I've been doing. So definitely appreciate you guys.
Well, thanks again, Khalil, for me and Chris and Khalil. This has been Talk to Prosvic. And as always, fly, Eagles fly, and we'll see you in the next one.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.